Hello and welcome to the Dahlgren Centennial Celebration, a century of innovation. We hope this and our many other products, events, and offerings will showcase what Dahlgren has accomplished during its last 100 years. Throughout our history, we have interviewed some of the most prominent minds, leaders, and innovators that have been here, and we're opening up the vault to share them with you this year. Today, we are honored to listen to the story of Ann Swope, who started at Dahlgren in 1981 and still works here today. Ms. Swope started her government career as the environmental manager and rose to be chief of staff. We'll also hear a little bit about her entry into a male-dominated field.
I actually came to Dahlgren in September of 1981 as a graduate co-op student. And I heard about it because I got married in August of 81, and my fiancé, husband, whatever at the time, grew up in Colonial Beach in the area. So this was the biggest employer around. I actually did a phone interview with a man named Ed Olenjinsky, and I was sitting in the personnel office doing a phone interview with him to come in as a graduate co-op, and didn't realize that he sat at White Oak, Maryland. So my boss, when they hired me, sat at White Oak, and I was here at Dahlgren. So it was interesting. Yeah. Environmental toxicology was my master's that I was working on at the time, and it just so happened that I came in right when all the environmental regulations hit. So it was perfect timing. The hazardous waste laws, mm-hmm. called RCRA, Resource Conservation Recovery Act, had just been enacted and enforced in 1980. So it was perfect timing, I guess, in that realm, and that's what he needed work on, and I said, sure, I'd be happy to do it, and didn't know anything about it, but dove right in. So probably environmental manager was probably the title. I essentially was reading those new regulations and trying to figure out how to manage all the environmental programs we had on base, including hazardous waste, which was the big new law that went into effect. You were no longer allowed to use your landfills on base to get rid of your waste, and so all the laws on how to store it, transport it, ship it, inspecting places you shipped it to. So you didn't. Love Canal was the, if you've ever heard of Love Canal, look it up online. Very interesting for you to go back and check out what happened at Love Canal. It was just to give you a little history. It was in New York. It was a company that. I don't remember if they were manufacturing what, but they buried all sorts of drums and waste material in a big ravine, and then eventually sold the property to that local community to build a school on. Everybody started getting sick because all those drums leaked into the waterway. So it was Love Canal is what started all the environmental regs, and so that happened in the 70s, and the regs were written in 76 and implemented in 80 to start cradle-to-grave management of bad chemicals. So that's why now you put everything in a lined landfill or you incinerate it, with controls and that kind of thing. So it was a whole different world of regulation for everybody. And then I expanded from environmental to environmental and safety, and then added explosive safety. So just until last year, I was safety environmental director for NSWC, which included all the environmental programs, safety programs, and explosive safety. I'm chief of staff. She came over a year ago as chief of staff, which actually is traditionally a military billet, but military billets are hard to come by now there with downsizing. So the captain at the time, Captain Sheila Patterson, she decided, let's make it a civilian billet. And that's when I came over. I actually came to work in a building that had no females in it, no female restroom, nothing. So it was, so when I came in, they put a flip sign on the door for the restroom, and I used it once, and from there on went across the street to a building that had a female restroom. Right. It was the Public Works Department time, so it was W was the code. I have to say, I grew up in a family with three brothers. I have three sons, so it's never bothered me in the least, and the people here are, especially in that public works, it's one big family. Mm-hmm. I went through three pregnancies, like that, and mm-hmm. The I was in a building with all males, and I was 2 weeks late and came to work every day, and they were like, oh, my goodness, what are you doing here again? You know, don't have the baby here kind of a deal. But they were, you know, they were very kind and generous, and they knew my husband, a lot of them did, you know, so that helped, I guess. I did some travel, but not a whole lot. So it's probably 3 or 4 times a year I'd have to go on travel.
Okay.
Getting the workforce to understand the technicalities and responsibilities they have as all the new laws keep coming out. I mean, both the environmental field and the safety field, it only keeps getting tougher and more regulations thrown on you. And a part of my success was early on, there was a lot of training that had to be done, so I became a trainer and became a well-known trainer within the Navy. Not only did I train people at Dahlgren, but Pax River and NOSA, Indian Head, and a lot of those environmental regulations. So if you're going to train it, you know it really well. So it was, I didn't have any problem with, I was well respected, I guess, in my field and what I did. I never felt that. And if that was ever an issue, I think it would have not, I wouldn't have taken it as an issue for being female. I would have taken it as an issue because it's a change in how they're doing business. You know, and why do I have to do that now, kind of a thing. I'll just give you one little story which stuck in my mind from the early 80s. We had all of our outside inspections, Navy-wise, came down from the Navy Yard. And there was one real tough woman there, you know, who had a reputation for being really hard-nosed and da-da-da. Mm-hmm. And we were going through, looking at different areas where people were doing their activities and all. And I said yes, sir, to somebody. You know, I was 21 years old, and the man was probably 50, and that's the respect that, you know, age difference. I said, yes, sir, and she looked at me, and we got out, and said, don't you say yes, sir, to them. They've got to respect you, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I'm not changing who I am for any reputation. So that's what she thought she had to do that, and she was probably 30 years older than me, so as she came along, I guess she thought she needed to be that way to get respect. It's who you are, you know, it's how you're wired. There are not as many females that go into engineering. They certainly go into science, but not as many go into engineering. Mm-hmm. So I think if you look across the board, you'd probably see more women in science than you would in engineering. But you certainly don't see as many women in management probably here as you do in the workforce. Part of it's the field, and I think part of it too is if you're choosing somebody to manage an organization, you're hiring, you're looking for somebody that you can get along with, you know, and that sees things the way you see it. And maybe if that tweaks you a little bit to stick with those like you, as in males pick males, females pick females, I don't know. And you do hear a lot of, oh, I couldn't work for a woman, I think if you went back and talked to people that work for me, I don't think you'd see that as, oh my goodness, I couldn't. And I'm not sure what I attribute that to. You know, I'm also a third kid, so I'm pretty laid back. You know, I mean, I'm hard-nosed and when it comes to making sure people are safe in what they do, and, you know, if it's going to land somebody in jail, they've got to do it right kind of a deal, because a lot of those regulations are that way. But I'm not pushy kind of a thing, you know. I listen to all sides of things, so I don't know if people are, I've been around a long time too, so people either know me or they know somebody that knows me, so that probably helped. But I have not had any negative experiences whatsoever. I'm lucky. Great place to work.
Thank you for listening to this week's Dahlgren Centennial podcast, and hopefully you have learned another interesting aspect of what our people accomplished for the Navy and for our nation. We will continue sharing how Dahlgren is one-of-a-kind location where innovation is heralded as the hallmark of each individual. Tune in next week to hear from Charles Robel, an engineer at Dahlgren from 1941 to 1967. Mr. Robel started on base as a battery attendant, but eventually joined the professional staff and retired as a supervising electronics engineer. Thank you for celebrating this century of innovation with us at Dahlgren.